We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
It's good to be with you. Hello, how are you? We got 90 minutes to hang out together today. And then after those 90 minutes, I'm going to be joined by Matt Stymetz and Kerry Keating for the final. I can't believe we are already here. Game number 82, the final Warriors warm-up of the regular season, begins at 4:30 this afternoon. Warriors-Jazz wrap up the Warriors regular season tonight. It cannot come to an end fast enough. I'm ready to dance for real. I'm ready to see this sucker happen. And I got to be honest, I really haven't spent much time with the Warriors this year. I mean, I've been here every night. I've been watching them every game, but I haven't seen them that often. I really hope that we get to see our old friends starting soon here, playing the basketball that we know they're capable of playing with the attention, with the focus, with all of that. By the way, is there a better, less covered story in the NBA than the Utah Jazz this year? Let's be totally honest. I'm not about to do 90 minutes of Utah Jazz radio, but we got to give them credit. They're playing to try to be a three seed still. Raise your hand if you had Utah might be the three seed in the offseason after they lose Gordon Hayward. Raise your hand if you thought that was a reality, or if you thought they were just going to miss the playoffs altogether. They could still be the three seed. It's pretty darn impressive, man. The Utah Jazz are the best story in the NBA. Nobody's bothered talking about all year, including us, right up until game number 82 was about to start. And we're going to get into that tonight. I am sure of it. It is good to be with you. Thanks so much for coming on today. Thanks for joining us. Gary St. Jean is going to join me in about an hour from now. Always looking forward to talking to him. Warriors warm-up is going to happen at 4:30. We'll be inside of Warriors warm-up in our 5 o'clock hour today, which means we're going to be qualifying what I believe, Gianna, is our final, hopefully qualifying a final finalist for the golden ticket. Chance to win a pair of Warrior home playoff tickets for every single Warrior home playoff game. It's the coolest thing we've ever done, and I believe today is our very last chance to qualify for someone, and they're giving away the golden ticket tomorrow on the morning show?
Yeah, so this is it. Hopefully you hear your name today.
Hopefully. The person who hears their name today has just as much chance of winning as any other finalist who called in and qualified. I thought we were going to be giving the tickets away. I'm not going to lie.
We're not?
No. They're going to give the morning show is going to give the golden ticket away? Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, you got to give them something sometimes.
Sure. Or we can give them nothing forever, which is what I would choose. I tell you, I love the fact that we get to say hello to our pal Gary St. Jean today, but I got a little guest envy.
With the morning show?
No. Afternoon Delight. I wanted to talk to Bob Costas.
Yeah.
I did. I had Paul McCartney questions for Bob Costas. I used to watch Costas on Later, which would come on after David Letterman. All those years ago on NBC.
You've never had an interview with him or anything?
No, I've talked to Costas once in my career.
Okay.
I'd love to do it again. But, you know, those Syracuse guys, they do stick together.
Oh, there's a tie-in. I get it.
There is a tie-in there. Hey, Brandon Belt goes down looking at strike three last night, one night after not swinging at a called third strike. And you know what? Why won't it learn? Why won't it learn? Why doesn't this machine learn? Brandon Belt is never going to be who you want him to be. He never pulls the trigger to try to make something happen. He is forever letting the game come to him. I swear to God, the guy is more interested in drawing a ninth-inning walk than driving in a game-tying run. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I don't get it at all. I don't think he's a two-hole hitter. He's probably better suited for 6, 7, 8 in the lineup. What do you know? The Giants managed just one run last night against the Diamondbacks. Derek Holland, he was pretty good. He struck out 8. He allowed 2 runs in 6 innings. But the Giants make Zach Godley look like this year's Cy Young Award winner with the greatest curveball in the history of baseball. They just couldn't get to him last night. Elite and unfamiliar pitching still baffles the San Francisco Giants, who are dead last once again in the National League in runs scored. We'll see if the A's can get back to the win column tonight. They're going to be at the Dodgers. Sean Manaea against Hyunjin Ryu. A's got the third best team batting average in the American League, 11th in team ERA, so it's kind of what we thought at the beginning of this year. They're going to hit it a little. They're going to go ahead and give up a lot of runs while they're hitting it a little too. Tyler Beede makes his debut tonight. Is this going to be another ho-hum Giant call-up, or is this going to be Bumgarner-ish, Kane-ish, Lincecum-ish? They've had some success with their top pitching prospects, so let's see what this guy looks like tonight. And obviously, we've got an awful lot of basketball to pay attention to. We are now going to see the Warriors wrap up their season. We really have to wait until the entire NBA season wraps up tomorrow to know what is going to be the 7th seed. I got to tell you, I got a thing today, Gianna. It's a stack of all of the potential playoff scenarios and when playoffs would start and who you'd be matched up against. And it looks like an actuarial table that you would pick up at an insurance company. Like, you need to know how to use an Excel spreadsheet in order to just navigate the information on this page. I've never seen anything more convoluted and 48 hours away from being done with a sports regular season. The question of who's going to be playing who in your first round is a very simple, we have no idea.
Yeah, it was hard to decipher. I saw that same paper.
It's crazy.
Yeah, when I opened, I was like, it was too much.
It's like you need an abacus, you need to learn a language, you have to know how to chart the stars, and you have to know the Dewey Decimal System to figure out exactly who's going to be playing who in the NBA Finals. Some serious scoreboard watching for us to do tomorrow night. Nuggets at Timberwolves, Spurs at Pelicans, Jazz at Blazers. I saw somebody saying that these games are essentially play-in games in the Western Conference Finals. All these games should be moved to Dayton, Ohio, just like the NCAA tournament. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Nuggets at Timberwolves, live from Dayton, Ohio. Maybe that's what should happen. I don't know. The NBA calculated 32 different playoff scenarios for the Warriors, who their first-round opponent might be. And needless to say, we do not have any more clarity after the 32 rounds of calculations gave us 8 matchups with the Nuggets, 7 matchups with the Spurs, 6 matchups with the Timberwolves, 6 other matchups with the Pelicans, 3 matchups with the Jazz, 2 matchups with the Thunder, and a partridge in a pear tree. It's crazy.
It is.
It's crazy. I mean, it's tough to talk about who might upset who in the first round when you have no idea who's basically playing who in the first round yet. Sharks open up their first round play with the Ducks on Thursday. Quack, quack. You got to like a shark to beat a duck in almost every scenario, don't you? I mean, if we're just going based on Animal Kingdom rules, that should be an easy series.
That's fine.
It'll be fun to watch a little playoff hockey, man. It really will be. There is no sport that goes from disposable information to valuable information quite like the NHL does with its playoff round. There's no sport that takes a step forward in terms of excitement and passion and the way that it's played and the obvious, easy-to-see intensity. I mean, you could have somebody show up tomorrow from Venus who's never seen a sporting event on Earth, much less a hockey game, and you could watch... You could play for him off your DVR any game from the regular season and then show them a playoff game too. And the alien from Venus would have to admit, like, these are basically two different sports. What is this? I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. We're going to have an awful lot of it for you. We've got today a conversation about the Warriors MVP. Pretty interesting and compelling article about Tim Kawakami, who, if you ask me, and I thought about it for about 5 minutes, who the Warriors MVP was, I would have come up with the same name, but you got to think about it for a minute, and then you got to basically say, hey, in a season where a little consistency was needed, who was more consistent than Klay Thompson? We're going to talk about that. Richie Incognito says that stress is killing him and he's about to hang it up in the NFL. We're going to talk about that. Three other different NFL stories that came across the wire today to get into. I think there is an awful lot of information and an awful lot of questioning still of young Mr. Colin Kaepernick, who's got a wonderful opportunity to grow up right before our eyes, but is so married to wrong ideas and bad visuals that I can't understand. You know what you probably shouldn't do if you're ever going to a deposition where you're being deposed for your own collusion lawsuit? You know what you shouldn't do? You probably shouldn't go wearing a t-shirt. Feel free to wrestle around in your closet and look for a jacket. You know, like a grown-up. Like an adult. Like someone who understood the gravity of the situation. Which, by the way, who pushed the gravity of this situation more than you, sir? If you're not going to take this seriously and show up, I swear to God, he walked into the deposition today wearing a t-shirt that said Kunta Kinte on it. Whoever is advising Colin Kaepernick, he has the worst set of advisors any athlete has ever had, ever. It's unbelievable. He cannot get out of his own way, even though his argument is probably right and just. He still doesn't know how to deliver the message. He would screw up telling you what they're serving at the picnic tonight. 95.7 The Game, again, going to qualify one more finalist for our golden tickets before today is said and done. We're going to do that inside of Warriors warm-up at 5 o'clock when Kerry Keating and Matt Steinmetz plan on joining me at 4:30 for our final Warriors warm-up today. Looking forward to that. Gary St. Jean at 4 o'clock. Me and Gianna just kind of hanging out with you until then. Here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
It's great to have you along today. Thanks so much. Text line, very complimentary early in the show. It says Gianna killed it on CBS this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Coffee on the way. Is that some inside joke that I don't know about?
No, I was up early working on Channel 5 this morning, filling in for traffic anchoring. So
nice job.
Yeah, thank you. I'll be there all week. So tune in. 4 a.m.
So you're in like your ninth hour of work right now.
Dude, yes.
Wow.
It's like this for the rest of the week, but that's all good.
Still having a massively impressive hair day for a woman who got her hair done at 4:30 this morning.
I had to put some effort into it, Damon.
Nice job.
Well,
nice
thank
job.
You, text line. Thank you, 925.
So, yeah, a lot of love there on the text line. Someone says, hey, Damon, when hockey season's over, are you still going to play Donskoy?
Donskoy!
Look, when he retires, I'm probably still going to play it. I mean, I love this.
Donskoy!
I'll never not love this.
Donskoy!
And hopefully it brings the Sharks a cup.
That would be awesome.
That'd be great. That would be fantastic. You know, hopefully Klay Thompson is right in the middle of bringing the Warriors an NBA championship. I had Kirk Lakeban, the assistant general manager, son of Joe, yesterday, talking about how this has been an odd season for the Warriors. There's just no way to pretend that it hasn't been left of center of the entire Steve Kerr era. When asked if he still thought this team was going to go on and win a title, Kirk Lakeban said,
I am 100% confident in this group. More than any group we've had, they know what to do. They've been there before. If you look at the games that we played with our full roster, we still are really dominating like we had in the past. So I'm 100% confident. More importantly, the players are confident. That's really what matters. This is a really confident group, and they've been there before. I think there's no pressure that's going to get to them. They're excited that this time it's finally come. This is what they've been looking forward to. And ultimately, it's the fourth year in a row for some of these guys with barely any time off. It's hard to go through the rigors of the regular season four times in a row like this. So I think they've paced themselves appropriately. But this group is, like I said, a very confident group, a very smart group, and I think they're ready to go.
I hope he's right. I certainly hope he's right. You know, when talking about getting into the playoffs, Draymond Green said every single playoff season has its own story to play out, and obviously this story is about to play out here for the Warriors.
You know, coming out the break, it would have been ideal to, you know, be playing great and then rest when you can and, you know, continue to build momentum, but that just didn't happen for us. So, you know, it is what it is. There's different paths to every championship. Every season takes on a life of its own. Nonetheless, it doesn't change our expectations for this season one bit.
So expectations haven't changed, but obviously the path to negotiate changed an awful lot. What the Warriors thought that they were going to get and what they actually got were two totally different things. Draymond talked about, you know, this is the time of year you want to really start getting ready to play great basketball. You want to go storming into the playoffs, not backing in.
We do want to end the season strong. You want to roll into the playoffs, not limp in. So, you know, it's important that, you know, we come out and play a good game tonight. And that doesn't necessarily mean win the game, but we need to definitely play our brand of basketball. And I think if we play our brand of basketball, we win.
When you do play your brand of basketball, you win. I don't want to hear this. We just want to play well. It don't even necessarily even mean winning. No, Warriors mean winning. Warriors playing well means you've won and you've won comfortably. And that's what we want tonight. There is no way for the Warriors to make the argument that they're going to be rolling into the playoffs. Beating the Suns, beating the Jazz would not be, wow, you are rolling into the playoffs. It wouldn't be. It'd be good. It'd be better than losing. But the Warriors are not going to be rolling once the playoffs start. They're going to have to get rolling in the playoffs. And right now it's tough to get focused on the playoffs when you don't even know who the first round opponent is going to be.
We're just not having a clue. Like, just so many things could shake up over the next day or two. So, you know, it's definitely different, but it is what it is. Whoever it is, we just get ready to play. And at the end of the day, it's about what we do. You know, it's not about who we're playing or what they do. We play our brand, we'll be fine.
Does Steve Kerr care about who they face in the first round?
Well, the picture has really cleared up for us now. It's down to five teams that we can play. So it's gotten much easier now. So every team that's in the playoffs is really good. I mean, it's the deepest I've ever seen the West, or the East for that matter. So it doesn't even matter. Like, we're just going to prepare for a hell of a team. And a lot of the teams at the bottom are actually playing the best. You know, New Orleans just beat us the other night. Denver's hot. San Antonio's had to win games. OKC now. You know, you can see the urgency that all these teams are playing with. So no matter who we face, it's going to be a good challenge.
So, Coach, what are you going to ask of your team tonight in Utah? How do you want to play this final game of the year, game number 82?
I'm going to play it by ear. Everybody needs to play because we're so thin in the backcourt with Patty and Steph and Andre out. So it's not like I could rest people even if I wanted. I could in the front court, but you know, that doesn't really make sense because we play a lot of people anyway. So we're going to play it normal and see how the game goes. But if somebody's banged up, I'm definitely not throwing them back out there. And, you know, as it flows, we'll see what happens.
One of the guys who's been banged up, obviously, is Klay Thompson. If you're worried about his shooting stroke not being where it needs to be because of that fractured thumb, well, if you were paying attention in only the first quarter in Phoenix, you saw Klay Thompson let you know he's feeling all right. How about a montage? Give me a big, fat, juicy Klay montage.
Klay, right angle, triples up and good.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson knocked it down. Klay Thompson with a catch, fakes the shot, takes a dribble, takes another one. He is on fire right now. Thompson with a catch, quick release. Heat check, three, good for Klay.
Seriously.
Knocked it down. He doubles the lead. 19-13. He scored the last 11. Well, it was close to 90 degrees here in the Valley of the Sun, but nothing and nobody is hotter than Klay Thompson right now.
Beats
Come
on.
Right corner, gets it over to Klay Thompson. Wide out, lets it fly, knocks down another one. Klay Thompson, his feet aren't even touching the ground coming down the floor.
It's
all
Come
Klay
on,
Thompson
people.
Here. Thompson catches, pump fake, fades into a deeper three. Got another one. Klay Thompson, 8 of 9, 19 first quarter points. He's having an out of body experience. Chest pass to Thompson, catches and fires another three for Klay.
Come on,
he can't see anything. It's his 8th 20-point quarter of his career.
Seriously.
He's got 22 of the 27, 19 straight points for Klay Thompson.
I'm telling you, those Phoenix Suns,
they sucked at defense.
But Klay Thompson was even better offensively. Today, Athletic.com, Tim Kawakami wrote an opus love letter to Klay Thompson. you know, saying that this has just been a regular season and has been unlike any other regular season during the Steve Kerr era. And it felt like 60 months to get to game number 82, not like 6 months. Tim goes on to write, this just seemed like the right time to put a bow on this pre-playoff drudgery by picking the team MVP for the regular season before the playoff stage, just to clarify what happens, what didn't, and who carried the biggest load. Most important, the Warriors got through this year with at least 58 victories and the number two seed. With all the injuries they suffered, this wasn't quite as easy as you might expect. If you look back at the whole journey, which put a lot of different kinds of burden on specific players, Tim's pick for the regular season MVP of the Golden State Warriors is Klay Thompson. Tim makes the argument, he was the Warriors' most reliable player this season, just like he has been so utterly reliable throughout his NBA career. When they very, 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 very much needed somebody to rely on. Of course, Klay is not the team's best player. He's not the most important player, nor is he his leader. We know that. But in a season like this, Klay was essential as he's ever been, just doing what Klay does. Just showing up for almost every game. Chasing the opponent's best perimeter players. And this season, he shot it better than he ever has, which is saying something. Add in his droll, deadpan personality, which blends perfectly with the Warriors' mix of personalities. I really don't know what the Warriors would have done without Klay Thompson this season. Maybe more than any other season. Klay has been the Warriors' metronome, clicking away almost every game, like and right up until he suffered a broken bone in his thumb. He obviously can have a hot shooting night or a cold shooting night, but for this season, the Warriors just needed him out there. Even with the broken thumb, Thompson will play in his 73rd game of the regular season finale tonight. The Warriors, by the way, went 3-6 without Klay Thompson this year. They are 55-17 with him. I know there are a lot of overlapping injuries in that breakdown. Curry was out for most of the ones that Klay missed, so of course the Warriors were losing, not just losing those games because Klay was out. Tim Kawakami continues in The Athletic. Klay is also tied for third in the league in three-point shooting percentage at 44.1%. That's a career best for Klay Thompson, presuming he doesn't have an all-time stinker and clunker tonight in Utah. He's carrying a career-best 49.2% overall shooting mark from the floor and a career-best 59% effective field goal percentage into tonight's finale. In summary, it was gigantic for the Warriors to have a tall, two-way guard who was there for them practically every night. I got to tell you, I completely agree with Tim Kawakami. I really do. I don't think you could even make a very strong argument that anyone else but Klay Thompson could be this year's MVP. And if you did, you'd probably have to go like David West, and you'd have to use some sort of statistical efficiency package to make your point, because it's a convoluted stretching point. Rarely does a team's MVP come in the form of, what is that, the sixth, seventh, eighth guy off the bench? No. The Warriors, I don't think their MVP is ever going to be a supporting role player. And if this is the year where that's what Klay Thompson was, then I guess it makes sense. But he's a supporting player who's supporting this team right from the starting five. And he is their best perimeter defender. And he was there. You know, what's your favorite ability? How about availability? Saw a pretty interesting debate happen through a couple of things that I was looking at today. And the question was simply, you know, with the way that Steph Curry missed so much time this year, should Steph Curry be on an all-NBA team? That's funny. We talked a little bit about Ben Simmons' Rookie of the Year candidacy last night.
Yeah.
And I think Donovan Mitchell should be the Rookie of the Year, and what he's done with Utah is really, really impressive. You know, there's not a process. He was a pick. There's no process to trust. You had to trust that drafting Donovan Mitchell all by himself was going to make up for the absence of Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
And what do you know? In one pick, the Jazz are still really, 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 really good. I look at Ben Simmons and I see a guy who got a rookie year that came with all the meetings and experience that you get your first day around the NBA, your first trip around the NBA, but he didn't play, but he had his rookie year right there on the bench, watching it all happen, studying game film, players, coaches, colleagues, all in his ear, learning how to negotiate the league. I don't think you should be eligible for Rookie of the Year in any year but your first year in the NBA. I don't care if you played or didn't. If you didn't, dem's the breaks. I'm sorry that happened. That's what injuries do sometimes.
But do you think watching from the sidelines is enough of an education to disqualify him from that?
It's the single biggest education that you could possibly have without playing in the league.
That's the thing. He didn't play, though. You know, I mean, I feel like this is a gray area.
To me, historical precedent suggests it's a gray area because we've seen players miss their rookie year and win Rookie of the Year. But I didn't think it was right then either. You're telling me I get an 82-night apprenticeship on an NBA bench with zero responsibility of playing. The only thing I can do is pick up on tendencies, coaching meetings, rotations, how to play, what a player's tendencies are. Like, you learn so much. How about this? Be a fan. Be an NBA fan sitting courtside for 41 home games. You will know so much more about the NBA after 41 games, much less 82, sitting courtside.
Sure. I mean, and maybe that gives Donovan Mitchell the edge because it is legitimately his first year in the league. But Ben Simmons should be part of the conversation.
No, I think it's his not rookie year, which should eliminate you from Rookie of the Year consideration. That, to me, is...
it's a cut and dry.
Yeah. Was this your rookie year? Yes or no? Well, yes on the court, but no in his profession. All right, well, that should eliminate him for Rookie of the Year candidacy. Someone said that, at best, Ben Simmons should win Most Improved Player of the Year. No, you're wrong about that, too. What's he improving from? He didn't play, now he's playing? Yeah, that's an improvement. But no, you need to have a baseline standard of play that you then overachieve in the next year
from that
to be named Most Improved Player of the Year, which, by the way, Oladipo has locked up. Should Steph Curry be on an All-NBA team? I think we got to go to a little precedence here because, look, if number of games makes no difference at all, if number of games played in the regular season isn't germane to the conversation, then yes, of course Steph Curry should be on an All-NBA team. But if it has made a difference in the past, and a player who's had an outstanding season cut short due to injury wasn't on the team, then Steph probably shouldn't be either. He's missed enough times to be devalued in terms of what kind of significance did you bring to the NBA this year. But he's also so good in his 51 games. He averaged 26 points per game, shot 45% from the field, 42% from downtown. He had 6 assists and 5 rebounds. Like, Curry put up borderline MVP numbers in the 51 games that he played, but if that 51 games wasn't enough, then I guess he probably shouldn't be included. If you've got historical precedent of, hey, this guy was balling out, but then he got hurt and he missed X amount of games, so he didn't make all NBA team, then I guess that should apply to Steph Curry. But if it hasn't mattered in the past, it shouldn't matter now. By the way, this is Curry's third consecutive season with at least 4 made three-pointers per game. No other player in NBA history has had even one such season.
Wow.
This is his third consecutive year of doing something that's never, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, never, ever happened before. Pretty impressive.
Very.
Pretty impressive. We got some football news to get into today that is I don't know how impressive it is, but it's certainly newsworthy. Joe Montana, do you see he was on the East Coast today, going around doing the whole media tour, an East Coast car wash for Joe Montana. He and his wife have some product that they're pushing or some sort of website or something. I don't know what's going on, but they are on their big East Coast media tour. I would like to invite Joe and Jennifer Montana to come on in and join us here on the best radio station in the city in which you live, Joe. I know New York's alluring, but come to the corner of Broadway and Battery, where you're more loved than you'll ever be anywhere in your entire life.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. You know, when you hear about Americans, we're all about being American, they'll tell you these colors don't run. Well, Thursday Night Football, these colors run. The color rush abomination in the NFL is over. You can all go about your business now. Our national nightmare has come to an end.
Yay.
We'll call it the color hush. Shh. Stop wearing uniforms that look like your Polish grandmother dressed you.
It didn't work for every team. It would have had to have worked for every single team to make it happen. So
the only way,
all or nothing.
The only way color rush ever really looked good is when the uniform was all white. All the total clean whites, head to toe whites, crisp, looks phenomenal. Right. You know, Elena just told me in my ear, you know, the Raiders look good in all white, but they should never be wearing white at home. I agree. You're right about that. And oh, by the way, another team that should never again in its entire existence wear black head to toe. I'm talking about you, San Francisco 49ers. You take those black jerseys, your color rush jerseys, and burn them.
You did not like those.
Burn them. You know what I don't like? And I truly believe that most fans will agree with me. Pardon me. When we sit down to watch a sport, we like what we're familiar with, starting chiefly with the damn uniform. What's the old saying? We're rooting for laundry out there. We don't care who's wearing it. There's a lot of truth to that. When you have a signature, identifiable look, I want to see you in it every single time. Every single time. I didn't show up today in the Bronx to see the Yankees not wearing pinstripes. I'm not driving to Santa Clara to see the 49ers come out in anything other than their red and gold. And I damn well never want to see the Raiders play, not anywhere, Vegas, the Coliseum, in an alley out back at the damn Oakland swap meet without wearing their black home jerseys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who's sitting around taking LSD saying, you know what we should do? We should take the Los Angeles Rams and make them look like a highlighter from head to toe. Just yellow puke.
I'm sure they thought there was maybe merchandising opportunities, but
well, that's
it didn't
all this
look
is.
Good.
That's all this is. It's always a cash grab. It's always how do we make more money? How do we get fan A to spend money like he's fan A, B, and C all in one? How do we get this schmuck to buy three different jerseys? Well, we can if we only have two different jerseys home and away. We need a third jersey
right to
sell the schmucks.
And here comes the color rush.
Sucker born every day. Seriously, how many of you know for a fact you went out and you bought an ugly jersey the day you picked up an all-black 49er jersey, but you did it anyway because you felt the pressure of your own fandom telling you to do it? Color rush, you will not be missed. Oh, there's another thing on Thursday night that wouldn't be missed either. The football game.
Well, maybe that's next.
I hope so.
Baby steps.
Billy Wagner of Fox Sports says that the alternate uniforms on Thursday Night Football are going away. Fans don't need gimmicks to watch a game, which really is a gimmick to begin with. He also said that the quality of matchups are going to be stronger than it has been in seasons past. Really, though, there is only one correct thing to do with Thursday Night Football, and that is cancel it. It's amazing to me that the NFL can be so media savvy, yet not understand the concept of oversaturation. 888-957-9570. We got a couple people on hold right here wanting to talk about, what do you know, Color Rush uniforms. We're going to get your phone calls, and coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to say hello to our good friend Gary St. Jean here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Good to have you around. We've got a couple of NFL stories to hop into here in a minute. We were just talking about how Color Rush will be color no more. No more of those monochromatic, all one tacky color uniforms, which kind of defined Thursday night. You'd have the Jets come out green head to toe, look like 11 boogers running around on a football field.
Yuck.
Yeah, yuck. I just don't need it. I don't need it. You don't need it. When I sit down to watch my favorite sports teams, I want to see them wear the uniforms that I associate with them. That's it. That's all I want. I want the home uniform and the road uniform. Now, I got a guy here saying, hey, man, you're wrong. I love those Niners black uniforms. If you did, that's your individual taste, I guess. I got to tell you, the Niners wearing all black head to toe, to me, was one of the stupidest marketing ideas I've ever seen them go through. Because who's a team around here who's known for wearing black playing the sport of football?
Not the Niners.
No. Hi, we're the San Francisco 49ers, and today we want to look more like the Raiders. You're doing it wrong. You're totally doing it wrong. I thought when the Raiders went to Color Rush, they should have come out all silver, but they should have worn them on the road. Or they should just be head-to-toe in black at home.
Yeah.
Like the Ravens go head-to-toe black at home sometimes. Let's go to Nick in Hayward. He wants to talk about the NFL ending Color Rush Thursday nights. What's going on, Nick?
What's going on, Damon? What's happening?
How are you?
Pretty good, man. Hey, man, so look, back to the 49ers Color Rush, man, the black jersey. That black jersey's been around way before the Color Rush, man. Like, the first time I think I remember seeing it, man, was like 2005. You know what I'm saying? People had them. They weren't like NFL-certified jerseys or nothing like that, but it's been around for a long time, you know? And me personally, I like that jersey. And if the Warriors can have 15 different jerseys that they wear throughout the season, why can't the 49ers and other NFL teams, you know, have
because you got 82 different nights to get dressed in the NBA. There's only 16 days to get dressed in the NFL. I don't think they have time to show you seven different uniforms when there's only 16 games. I mean, it's just the way I am. And like, look, you like the jersey. God bless you. I'm not going to tell you that your opinion about the jersey was wrong, but I mean, yeah, those were knockoff jerseys you see sold on the roadside. Like, they were never actually used on the field, and I don't think they should have been. I just think it's an ugly message. I mean, if you want to go and come up with an alternate jersey, let it be a throwback to an earlier season in your team's history. Like, to me, when the 49ers want to go with an alternate uniform, wear the white pants on the road. Wear the white pants at home instead of the gold pants. There's a little wrinkle. Remember back in the day when Steve Mariucci was a coach, they'd have the black piping around the numbers? There was a point in the 90s where every team thought it was cool if they just had black in their uniform. So like every team in sports, Duke came out with an all-black jersey. Like that's when that jumped the shark right there. Duke is wearing all-black head to toe. So intimidating. Since we're talking about what you wear and how to look right, saw this story today about Colin Kaepernick. He is, of course, in his grievance battle with the NFL. And after weeks of sitting for depositions in the Colin Kaepernick collusion complaint, NFL power brokers finally get some time of their own to ask Colin Kaepernick some questions. League lawyers are set to depose Colin Kaepernick today. As a matter of fact, I think it's happening right now. It's unknown what information the league will be seeking, although a league source familiar with the complaint said that the NFL is likely to concentrate on Kaepernick's mental outlook once he entered free agency in March of 2017, and whether he corrupted his free agent market through a series of factors relating to football skills, contract expectations, and motivation to play. Among the inquiries believed to be pursued by the NFL today are as follows. Whether Kaepernick expected to be signed as a starter once he opted out of his contract with the 49ers. Remember, this entire Kaepernick journey began with him opting out of a contract. What salary demands did he or his representation have in mind early on in free agency? What was Colin Kaepernick's capacity to play? Was his capacity to play diminished due to past injuries? How did Colin Kaepernick relate to coaches or teammates while playing with the 49ers? When Kaepernick expressed a willingness to continue his professional football career, did he do so anywhere outside of the NFL? And perhaps the most pressing and most obvious is whether or not Colin Kaepernick has ever actually discovered or been presented with tangible proof that NFL teams and executives sought to eliminate him from playing in the league ever again. The deposition is expected to last several hours, could dive into instances where Kaepernick appeared to make negative proclamations about law enforcement on social media or during practices. They'll probably ask him about his infamous pig socks in police hats. They'll probably go ahead and ask him, essentially, league lawyers are expected to walk Kaepernick down a path suggesting how he tangibly tainted his value across the league as a quarterback and or teammate. While his appearance before the league's lawyers is a significant marker in a collusion case, a source familiar with the proceedings says it doesn't signal that an end is near. Indeed, a multitude of league executives, owners, and team personnel remain on a deposition list, which could stretch far into the summer or beyond, making it conceivable that this collusion complaint could drag into 2019. Which is exactly what the NFL wants to do. The longer they drag Colin Kaepernick through a legal conversation, the more time he spends away from the game, the further his skill sets erode, the less interested people will become, because that's just the way it works. America's attention span, I probably lost it before I finished this sentence. And this is what the NFL is going to do. You see, how do you slow play a league that's not going anywhere? The NFL will be here long after Colin Kaepernick is gone. Long after you and I are gone, Gianna. The NFL will not be coming to an end in our lifetimes. You can forget about it. That's not going to happen. So what the NFL really wants to do is just make it go away by dragging it out past America's interest in the topic. And there might still be some tweeting going on and some hashtagging and some trending, but the NFL doesn't give a damn about that anymore. Just getting people back in the stadium, getting the audiences back in masses on TV, and getting over what has been a ridiculous PR nightmare for the league is all the league wants to do. But Damon, what about solving society's problems? If you thought the NFL was ever interested in that for a millisecond, I would love to sell you some Idaho oceanfront property. The NFL doesn't care about what's fair or foul or just or unjust or abusing minorities or not abusing minorities. The NFL never cared about these issues. Only pivoted to look like it cared about these issues, but never really did. The only thing NFL wants to do is make sure that they had a season that generated enough interest to make sure that they can sell their Super Bowl ticket for $300 more this year face value than it was sold last year. That's it. That's it. The NFL isn't interested in you beyond taking $100 increments out of your wallet. That's what the NFL's really interested in. And I'm just going to tell you right now that Colin Kaepernick will not learn. I saw a picture of him walking into this meeting today. He walked into this meeting wearing a T-shirt. If you wear a T-shirt to your deposition I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't going to come across well. And isn't this at the center of all of this, Colin? Your admittedly noble message being so tainted by your own actions that we're talking about you, not your message. You're still continuing this. This far down the road, you've learned nothing. You're going to seriously show up at NFL headquarters wearing a t-shirt that says Kunta Kinte on it today? I don't know who your lawyer is. I know who your girlfriend is. And I can tell you that the both of them have done you wrong at every piece of advice they have given you. Your friends are lunkheads. The advice you get is piss poor. And it ain't working for you. If I could snap my fingers, I would go ahead and make sure Colin Kaepernick could play in the NFL again. I believe that people have the right to pursue their chosen professions. But this guy absolutely falls into the can't get out of his own way category that, for much different reasons, Alden Smith falls into as well.
Well, I can see the NFL dragging this out, because aren't they going to depose every single owner?
You bet they are.
That's going to take some time.
You bet it is.
Yeah.
I tell you this right now. You know what football fans really don't like? Long, drawn-out court cases. I have never seen football fans get around a bar and all talk about the legal proceedings that have going on that are just going on for months. Oh, man, you guys read the transcripts today? It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Would have been a good day to wear a suit.
Yeah. You know what do they say? Dress for the job you want, not for the job you have.
Zuckerberg typically wears a hoodie, and he was in front of the Congress all day, wore a suit.
By the way,
his typical
watching 70-year-old senators question Mark Zuckerberg about the internet today, when these people probably like couldn't handle a buggy whip very well, was just it was such a look in deep inside, like, what the hell is wrong in Washington today? You had people who had no idea about the questions they were asking questions to a guy who had no idea how to possibly answer them. It was like a meeting and a battle of social awkwardness happening at a congressional hearing. It was just weird. All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ and HD1 San Francisco, the radio home for every single Warriors playoff game. And we are very happy to be joined by Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. Of course, you see him on NBC Sports. You hear him here on the Basketball Hour. And Gary, thank goodness. Game number 82 is here. Couldn't come fast enough.
Well, Dame, with the ups and downs and the bruises and injuries that we had this year, I 200% agree with you. Let's start playing the playoff games.
We can't get it here fast enough. I mean, I hope the Warriors just get off the court tonight as healthy as they stepped on it. I mean, this whole, you know, I heard Draymond soundbite saying that they want to go ahead and absolutely be hitting their stride for the playoffs. Look, there's no way to be hot in the playoffs. You can have at best a two-game winning streak going into the playoffs, and that is not a hot NBA team. That's just where the Warriors are. And I really don't know what to expect of them tonight. If you told me that they cared less about tonight than any other game and completely slept walk through this one, there's a part of me that would believe you, Gary.
Yeah, I'm not that far away from you. I don't think we're going to see these guys playing 40 minutes, the big three that are out there. And I think we're going to see a lot of young combinations because, you know, Utah is big, and they've got something to play for. They can move up to three. They've had a heck of a year. You know, in our case, I don't know that we're going to gain a lot by, going after this one tonight. You know, get your appetite filled and let's go home and find out tomorrow who the heck we play, because there's no idea, and prepare and get ready for a couple home games, one of which will be over the weekend and probably the next one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Gary St. Jean here on the Damon Bruce Show. So Quinn Cook officially makes this playoff roster in the worst kept secret in the NBA. He will be a part of it. You have been all around this league. You know the difference between regular season and postseason. If it were up to you to prepare Quinn Cook for what he's going to face in the playoffs, what's a couple things that you would tell him?
go to your strengths, stay away from your weaknesses. You've got three all-stars you're playing with. Let them elevate their game.
You be a role player. Limit your mistakes. That's big. But whether it's on defense or offense, whoever it is we play, they're going to test him. You saw that a couple games ago with Alvin Gentry. The first three plays, they went at him with New Orleans. And on the offensive end, it's about limiting turnovers, delivering the ball on time. I just think this young guy's got a wealth of confidence. He's going to find out, Dame, that the playoffs are a lot more physical. And it's more of a half-court game. And it's more about the ability to execute. And he's got to be locked in defensively because we use the phrase KYP, know your personnel. So he's got to figure out whether, I don't know, who do you guess we're going to play? Are we going to play Murray in San Antonio, or are we going to play New Orleans? Are we going to wind up with Holiday or one of those guys? I don't have an idea.
Steve Kerr had a pretty good quote when he basically said, we're looking at playoff opponents, and we've narrowed it down to five.
Hey, Dave, you know what? I know that everyone, fans, the organization, coaches, players, want to find out. Let me tell you who's sweating bullets right now. Is all the young video guys that are doing all the preparation work. So not only are they having to, and they, because of today's world with technology, they've built up a play sheet and examples of each of their plays, and they'll show their dominant plays, they'll show their late game plays, they'll show how they defended the Warrior plays, they'll have in-depth individual video, but they are working their tails off right now. Game, I'll take you back to when I started in 79. We had 3/4-inch tape, and Nelly had me breaking down video. I was using scissors and scotch tape to make the edit for the team to watch before we played our first playoff game, and I was sweating bullets that the scotch tape would hold the tape together.
It's just a different world that we live in. You use scotch tape. These guys are using iPads.
Just a little bit. Just a little.
Andre Iguodala is going to sit out tonight. Probably the right thing to do. It's been a total up and down season for a guy who was given a contract that looked like it would be a real problem for the Warriors in year three. It was kind of a problem for the Warriors right here this year. I mean, this guy, we all know how valuable he can be, but I think we just watched him basically mail in an entire 82-game regular season. Should we ever expect Andre to give a damn about a regular season basketball game ever again?
Well, you know, he can't control the injury. That's father time. But I will tell you, he's a high-integrity guy. He's a very bright player. I think Steve's doing the right thing and being cautious, and maybe he could play tonight. And I like him sitting him out tonight. Before this tweak about 3 games ago, he had fresh legs. And I'm not going to hide this. We're going to need him to help guard the dominant wing players in the playoffs. There isn't any doubt about it. And let's go back a couple of years ago when he guarded LeBron. So no matter who we play here, he will be key. And, Dane, here's the beauty of this. There's never going to be a back-to-back. And in some cases, there'll be 2 days' rest. And that'll help the older vets.
I hope it does. I hope it does. The Warriors get plenty of time in between every single playoff game. They're all so drawn out long. And with the amount of games missed due to just rest concerns, injury concerns, look, if rest really does matter, the Warriors are about to be the most rested team in the history of sports.
Well, you know what? We can be frustrated with all the tough luck we've had. We got to look at it this way. The three All-Stars have had significant rest. So mentally and physically, they should be pretty darn fresh. And, you know, we're just going to keep hoping that in a couple of weeks, there's a real positive evaluation for Steph. And you get through this first round, the second round will be tougher, and take that on. And then for me, the big one is when you get to play Houston in the conference final. But we got to go one game, one series at a time, and I can't wait for it to start.
I can't either. Gary St. Jean, NBC Sports Bay Area analyst, Basketball Hour host here on 95.7 The Game. Always good to have him on. Pretty interesting article from Tim Kawakami today, St. Lee, about how if it were up to him to name an MVP for the Warriors, he's going with Klay Thompson. And I would agree with that. He's been the steadiest presence on this team in a year where guys have been coming in and out of the starting five all season long. Who would be your Warrior MVP?
That's pretty darn good. Durability, impact on both ends of the floor. He's got to be in there because what's he missed? Like one or two games?
Well, it's funny.
Somebody else you put in consideration. I mean, maybe Kevin Durant, but beside that, I think Tim's got it on the right on the head. And if anything, Dame, I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking for him to get more touches in the playoffs here in the first round. We saw him on fire the other night. And his forte is his movement without the ball, whether it's usage of screens or drift shots for three. We've got to really lock in and find him. Maybe we'll even post him because he doesn't do a lot of ISO stuff because he doesn't put it on the floor, maybe as some others. But we've got to find him, and I think he's got to get upwards of 20 shots in these playoff games because we know he can get it rolling, and I love watching him when he's on a roll.
It's the prettiest jump shot in basketball. It really is. Gary, as always, man, thank you so much. Always great to talk to you. And, 48 more minutes of drudgery, and then we really get to disco.
You're the man, Dave. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much. Always great to talk to you. And if you're scoring along at home, and I know one of our listeners is, I believe the Dame over-under hit in that one. Hit the over in that one. I think we had five Dames.
I counted four.
Did you count four?
I think
you snuck in one more. 888-957-9570. We are going to go to Warriors warm-up in about 20 minutes from right now. Matt Steimetz, Kerry Keating going to join me here in studio getting ready for game number 82. Again, the Utah Jazz, one of the best surprises in the NBA. Give them full credit for being in position to take the 3 seed in the Western Conference. This is a team that lost Gordon Hayward and an awful lot of hope during this offseason. And they're a 3 seed, possibly. Going to be the 3 seed. It's amazing. Awful lot of credit go and are deserved by the Utah Jazz. That's one of the best surprises in the NBA this year. Most people at the beginning of the season had the Jazz missing the playoffs. They could be the 3 seed in the West, which is more impressive than being the 1 seed in the East. I told you we had several NFL stories to get to today. I know that we're going to have more time to get into this tomorrow because we have a longer, fuller show tomorrow. But a couple of other things that happened today. One, this made me laugh. So the NFL's drug testing is about to convene again. It's about to be ramped back up, getting ready for the upcoming season. Guess when the NFL is going to start randomly drug testing? Just guess. On 420. On April 20th, the NFL will begin randomly selecting players for open drug testing for the new league year, according to Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Obviously, the origin of 420 has long been debated. I know that there are people in Marin think that it started there. I don't even know. I don't even know exactly how it all started. I just know that it's international smoke it if you got it day. But certainly if you're in the NFL, you might want to think twice about it. The league is strict about the testing protocols, by the way. Even in the offseason, Gianna, here's how tough the NFL is on drug testing. Once a player receives notice that they have to submit to a drug test, they've got 4 hours to comply. That's it. The timetable, by the way, is not flexible, and even if the player is on vacation outside of the United States, they still have to give a sample within 4 hours of notification.
Wow.
There are specific standards for each part of the process. If a sample comes back diluted, it's treated as a positive test. If a player doesn't make the 4-hour window, that's treated as a positive test. Players do not face suspension for their first violation, but they do enter the league's substance abuse program, which means that they'll be tested more regularly. Consequences ramp up with each violation. The article, written by Jenna Thomas for SB Nation, continues, "So it's unwise for players to celebrate on 420. Even though recreational marijuana is legal in some states now, it remains against the NFL rules. The rest of the world may be celebrating 420, but the consequences could be severe if NFL players do." Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, the consequences for these players could be severe if the NFL doesn't start allowing this. The opioids, the abuse of pain medication, I think would be greatly reduced if the NFL would join the massive societal pendulum that is swinging towards the national legalization of marijuana. I think the NFL could actually do itself. How about this? I want to take you back to 1981. I'm hosting. Hi, I'm 1981 Damon Bruce. I'm 6 years old. I was 6 years old in 81. So, okay. Hi, this is 6 years old Damon Bruce coming to you from 1981. And the NFL and America are both thinking about making marijuana legal. Every single line that I had would light up. Every single person would say, number one, no. Number two, never. Number three, are you nuts? People who smoked weed would call me to tell me I was nuts. There is no way anyone would want to hear that segment, especially from a six-year-old. Who wants to hear from a know-it-all six-year-old?
True.
If the NFL came out right now with a nationwide, in order to help players deal with pain management, we are no longer testing for marijuana, I believe the NFL would do itself the best day of PR than it's had in years. Yes, there would still be a contingent of the uneducated South that just gets angry at anything that comes across as progressive. Any progress is deemed liberal and therefore evil by a distinct group of the dumbest of Americans. But the truth is, this is the direction which the entire country is marching in. The NFL would do itself some good to get out ahead of that march. Don't be the caboose on this issue. Be the lead engine. Well, how about this? You don't even need to be the lead engine. Be the dining car. Be the bar car. Be in the middle of the train. Don't be the last thing on the tracks. Damon, the same drug testing protocols apply to bus drivers in San Francisco.
Well, they're driving a bus.
Yeah.
I mean.
Absolutely. It should be even more stringent.
That's different.
PenskeAutoSales.com text line goes on to say, the same drug testing protocols apply to bus drivers here in San Francisco. Lawyers are required to undergo drug testing and other professional persons who have positions where they must test. For example, a driver of Muni in San Francisco has the exact same standards if he claims he cannot urinate and has to sit there in the room and drink water until he can. Yeah. When you're told you have a drug test, that's not optional.
No, you got it. That's just how it is. And right. Again, people who operate trains and buses, I mean, they should be tested. It's for our safety of those of us who ride these mass transit. So that makes sense to me.
What doesn't make sense to me is why it's such a big deal in the NFL. I mean, you got teams doping up players, shooting them up to get them out there to play. Why do you care that they might be doing it in their free time to get out there and play? Either way, the player gets out there and plays, you win, NFL. I'm going to tell you right now, if they ever decide to drug test radio, there'd be a lot of dead air tomorrow.
Really? Is that so?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know who's hosting the morning show. Middays. Afternoon Delight canceled. Gianna being here all by herself talking
alone.
About sport. Yeah, it'd be Gianna. You'd have to board up and produce the show.
Good to know.
Yeah. Damon, I hope my bus driver smokes weed in his free time. That sounds like a stressful job.
Go ahead in your free time. Do what you want to do, but not when you're driving the bus I'm in.
No.
There's a difference. Anybody on the field, have fun. It makes you feel better.
Whatever makes you feel better.
It's just at some point it's going to be very hard to make that argument and regulate it when states like California, Colorado, where it's legal, it's just like alcohol. We don't test them for alcohol.
Right. It's as legal as buying a pack of cigarettes. The NFL's probably not testing for cigarettes.
Probably not.
By the way, a very controversial player in the NFL has announced his retirement today. Richie Incognito. 12 seasons in the league. One of the bad boys of the league. He was suspended for bullying one of his teammates when he was with the Miami Dolphins. That teammate has gone on to be proven one of the softest-bellied, weakest links in the NFL offensive line universe. And Richie Incognito was still a Pro Bowl-caliber guard right up until the very end. I always liked Incognito. I really did. He is the kind of guy that you want on your team. You don't want to be playing against him. You want him to be playing for you. Bad guy? Yeah. Mean guy? Yeah. Nasty guy? Yeah. Tough on his own teammates? Yeah. I would have signed this guy. I would have totally signed this guy. Richie Incognito was a fantastic NFL player throughout his entire career. And he is walking away because he says that he is just done. It's been a long career and the stress is killing him. He says that what he puts his body through to just get back out there and play, he says, my liver and kidneys are shutting down. It's nothing that I can't restore with some balance, but the stress is killing me. So there you go.
How old is he? Do you know?
34.
34. Wow.
34, but 34-year-old who's played 12 NFL seasons?
That's like a 75-year-old.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was hanging out with my wife's cousin. It was a 15-year-old girl, Natasha. Absolute sweetheart. I don't get to spend a lot of time with 15-year-old girls. I haven't hung out or spent any time with a 15-year-old girl.
Teenagers in general.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't have a teenager at home. I'm not surrounded by 15-year-old girls. And we had dinner together at her parents' house the other night. I sat down, I talked to her. I thought I was talking to a 33-year-old woman.
Really?
In terms of what she knew about the world, how the world worked, how street smarts worked, how she was no, you know, just neophyte, know-nothing 15-year-old sitting in the corner, overwhelmed by the world. No, this is a fully participating woman who has been down paths that maybe, you know, 25 years ago, 30-year-old women don't walk down.
Interesting.
A 15-year-old now is like a 30-year-old from 1971. You are exposed to so much more now than in the past. It was insane. So, yeah, Incognito, 34, is young for the world. He played 12 seasons in the NFL. The average career is less than 3 years.
It's a long time.
This guy gave it the office. I'm not surprised at all to see him saying, the stress is killing me. The stress on your body? Oh, it's got to be brutal in the NFL. One other story that I'm just going to tease as a little forward promoting, because we're going to get into this tomorrow. John Middlecoff, pal of ours here, writing for The Athletic about what the Raiders need to do with Khalil Mack. Should they actually listen to trade offers? And he makes this, he raises these questions, basically saying that the best time to trade a guy is at the peak of his value. Not that this is a player that, this is a guy who could go to the Hall of Fame one day, and you wouldn't want to trade a player like this, but if you really can't afford to give him the guaranteed money that he's looking for, how do you get value out of him? What if you could turn him into multiple first-round picks and a starting tackle? What if you can turn him into 4 or 5 different players? You'd think, that's crazy. You would never want to trade a player like that, but John actually makes a really interesting argument. And again, Khalil Mack was a no-show for day one of John Gruden, which is kind of a weird way to get underway.
Wasn't mandatory, though.
Wasn't mandatory, wink, wink.
Right.
I guarantee you that all John Gruden voluntary workouts are the most mandatory voluntary workouts the NFL gets to see. It's crazy to me. One other thing in our last minute today, I saw that Brian Windhorst on ESPN was writing an article about all of the nasty feelings between NBA players and league officials and what can they do about it, and there needs to be another summit. No, here's what needs to happen. Adam Silver needs to say this simply. Hey, we know that these officials have some work to do, but they are officiating the game and they demand more respect. So here's the deal. The next person to bark at an NFL official to show them up, or an NBA official, you get a game. The second person gets 2 games. The third person gets 4 games. The fourth person gets 8 games. The fifth person gets 16 games. Do you see where this is going? Do we have your full attention now? Stop complaining. I'll suspend your ass. That's what Adam Silver should do. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about players whining about what they don't like. You live a life of privilege and distinction. Be happy. Be happy. I hope you're all very, very happy as you go about your life. I really, really do. And I hope that Kerry Keating and Matt Simons are happy to join me one final time. Here in the regular season, Warriors warm-up game number 82 is just about to start. In the meantime, thanks very much to Gary St. Jean. Gianna, as always, thank you so much. Thank you, Bouton Vixen. Thank you very much to Albie. We're going to be right back with Warriors warm-up. In the meantime, remember this. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Right now, Cholula, one of America's favorite hot sauces, is teaming up with Jack in the Box for the Cholula Buttery Jack. With Cholula hot sauce, crispy jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese on a signature bun. Try it with Cholula fries. Jack, can you cool it with the guitar, please?
Sorry, just got a little excited about the burger.
Try the Cholula Buttery Jack from Jack in the Box, part of the Buttery Jack family. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Unbelievable.
I'm done.
Countdown to Curry is brought to you by Marin Volvo. Visit VolvoCarsMarin.com. Final game of the regular season for the Warriors tonight. They'll wrap it up in Utah without Steph Curry, who continues to heal from a knee injury. Andre Iguodala is out tonight, but will likely be ready for game one of the playoffs. Patrick McCall also remains out. Warriors coming off a win over the Suns. A monster game for Klay Thompson, who scored 22 points in the first quarter against Phoenix. Warriors and Jazz tonight from Salt Lake City. Coverage starts at 4:30 with Warriors warm-up tip-off at 6 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game. Countdown to Curry was brought to you by Marin Volvo. Need a new car? Check out the new redesigned Volvos at Volvo Cars Marin. Let their deal concierge guide you through the buying process. Simple, easy, luxury at its finest. Volvo Cars Marin. Be pampered at VolvoMarin.com.
Are you getting ready to sell your home? Did you know there's a new way to sell that's more transparent and will save you thousands in agents' fees? It's called FARA. And it uses technology to lower costs so you can keep more of your equity. Bob is here to tell us more.
Thanks, Cheryl. First, let me tell you, FARA is free for sellers. There's no 5% commission. Once you sign up with FARA, we will take professional photos of your home, complete an independent home inspection, and list your home on the MLS so it shows on all the real estate websites. We install a for sale sign in your yard and an agent key box at your door. Plus, you receive offers online, which makes negotiating easy and the whole process transparent. FARA has hundreds of happy customers and is growing fast. Check out the reviews on Google and Facebook.
Thanks, Bob. I'm definitely going to refer people to FARA. If you want to learn more, head over to FARA.com. That's FARA.com. And start your listing. There's absolutely no obligation. FARA.com. FARA.com.
The Shark Tank is different in playoff mode. The beards are thicker. The fans are more insane. The horn sounds sweeter. The ringing in your ears is a little more satisfying in playoff mode. Playoff mode on. Sharks versus Ducks. Get your playoff tickets now at sjsharks.com. Sharks Playoffs, presented by Kaiser Permanente.
Tee it up at the Golf Mart's Demo Day this Saturday at the Tri-Valley Golf Center. Demo new products, meet with reps from your favorite golf brands, and get custom fit for free. And when you trade in your old clubs, you'll receive a 50% bonus toward your new club purchase. Some vendor restrictions may apply. Enter to win raffle prizes and register to win a $250 Golf Mart shopping spree. Don't miss the Golf Mart's Demo Day this Saturday from 10 till 3 at the Tri-Valley Golf Center, conveniently located on the border of Livermore, Pleasanton, and Dublin.
I was looking for an SUV from Honda or Toyota under $16,000 and less than 3 years old. Paul Blanco's Good Car Company had a great selection, and they offer me a reasonable interest rate, even with my credit. Thanks, Paul Blanco.
Get your Honda, Toyota, Nissan, Chevy, Kia, BMW, Dodge, or Ford. Paul Blanco sells thousands of vehicles at a low price, low rate, offers to defer a portion of your down payment, and negotiates with the lenders to help get you approved. Skip the hassle and get approved at paulblanco.com.
On approved credit.
If you owe any money to the IRS, you need to call this toll-free number right now. 800-296-1045. That's 800-296-1045. Uncle Sam has the power to take everything you own. You could stop the collection process right now by calling 800-296-1045. When you call the Tax Support Group, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate your back taxes, including penalties and interest. You could also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have entered into a payment plan and can't make the payments. Stop Uncle Sam right now. This free call could help you today. 800-296-1045. That's 800-296-1045. 800-296-1045. 800-296-1045.
Bay Area homeowners, there's never been a better time to permanently fix your low water pressure, rusty water, or pipe leaks by repiping your home today. Repipe Specialist has been serving the Bay Area for many years, collectively repiping over 35,000 homes in our 25-plus years. We've built a reputation on offering the most efficient repipe process for customer convenience, repiping an entire home in just 1 to 2 days, patching your walls, and providing a lifetime guarantee. Repipe Specialist only uses the best repiping materials with high-quality PEX or USA Grade L copper pipes. For a limited time, take advantage of our most affordable offer. Right now on approved credit, get 0% interest for an entire year. That's right, a quality home repipe, wall patching, and a lifetime guarantee ends.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.